Okay, the final hour here on this Friday for Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Caroline is off today. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. A couple of quick tidbits from the Titans practice, and we'll get into a little more detail later in the hour. Don't forget also, we'll take it to the bank at the end of the show. But Chris Hubbard has cleared concussion protocol, so he's good to go at right tackle for the Titans. And they have not ruled Ryan Tannehill out. He will be listed as questionable game time decision. I'll believe he plays when I see it. I don't think he's healthy.
I don't think he's healthy.
He hasn't practiced. But with that in mind, let's shift gears. We're going to talk to Mitch Light. Normally he joins us on Tuesday. He got bumped for Mike Vrabel, but Mitch, I guess there's worse people to get bumped from your slot, right, than Mike Vrabel, I guess.
There's better, there's worse. I'm just upset that Caroline's not here. I wanted her thoughts on the LSU-Alabama game from Saturday night. So maybe she can record a message or something, because I'd really like to know what her thoughts were on that. But yeah, it's okay.
We'll circle back to that. I did check in from where the heck were we? I think we had just arrived in Calgary, and I did check in on her pulse when it was 28 all down the stretch, and she was very, very intense. Right, in the trenches at that point, and obviously, Alabama pulled away late and got that win. So, she's still alive. I guess that's a good thing.
Okay, good.
So, Mitch, first, I know we're all kind of waiting for the hammer to drop here for Michigan. Do we think we're going to get a ruling from the Big Ten before this big game they play against Penn State?
You know, conventional wisdom would say no, but there's not much conventional wisdom, I guess, in what's going on here. The word fair, I don't know if I should use the word there, but it doesn't – whatever you think about what should be levied against Michigan, I wouldn't be – and I do think he should be suspended. I'm not in favor of him being suspended 24 hours before, the biggest game of the year or to date. I think you should give the team everyone more notice and all that. Now, we have heard some of our people reporting on it. I've heard that there will be something today. There could be an announcement today. Now, we don't know what that announcement would be. I don't know if it's sort of we'll announce that we're announcing our decision next week. So my answer, Willie, is I don't know if it'll be today. I don't think it will be today.
I kind of agree. On Friday, it'd almost be part of the punishment to announce it on the Friday before an enormous game. Probably they're fair to say Michigan's toughest opponent that they will have played to this point?
Not even close. Yes, definitely. Hmm.
Yeah, Mitch, even with that, I think I'm more in line with the Big Ten not doing anything this week, because say if Michigan loses against Penn State, now it lets them off the hook. Now they can take their time with doing whatever they want to do. Now, if Michigan wins, now the heat is going to be put back on them to make a decision. My thing with this whole situation is, and I'm not sure if you agree with it or not. I like Harbaugh as a coach. I think he's a really good coach. He's proven that both on the NFL level and the collegiate level. So I'm not taking that away from him. But to me, if you're that good of a coach, why then is this following your program, right? Why then is this a part of your program? I just don't understand that part. And Michigan fans will defend him up and down. But my thing is, just like Michigan State and what Mel Tucker did, you force your university to have to make a decision. They made the decision. I'm okay with it. You did what you did. You have to pay for it. It doesn't seem like Michigan fans are at that space, and they never will be at that space.
Yes, I agree with you. They'll never be at that space. And we see it in all forms. Michigan fans are not unique in this. Mm-mm. Every fan base, you twist yourself into all these opinions and defending and rationalization. I'm with you. Harbaugh is a great coach, proven track record, other than maybe not winning as quickly as we thought he would win at Michigan. But he's done it, going back to the University of San Diego and Stanford and all that too. So, I'm with you. I know coaches, they want every advantage possible, but this was going crossing the line. It's illegal. We've talked about this, and are not illegal. It's against NCAA rules and all that. So I'm with you. I don't know if we really talked about this, but my opinion was that I thought Harbaugh should be suspended for the rest of the season. And maybe that's too extreme, but I suspended away from the program. Not going to practices, not coaching Sunday through Friday and then turning it over to the assistants and all that stuff. I don't think that's going to happen. I think what we'll see is a 2 or 3 game suspension, if there is any suspension. But when this whole when all the details started to be spilled out in the last couple of weeks, that's kind of where I stood. Again, I don't pretend to have all the facts or anything like that. But I generally agree with your thoughts on that, Derek.
Now, we have a big game coming up, Alabama, Kentucky. Kentucky started off strong. They've lost 3 of their last 5 games. Alabama started off slow, but now it seems as if we are seeing the Alabama team that Nick Saban envisioned this team to be. Now, Milroe can get better, but it seems like he has a much better grip on what's going on from an offensive standpoint. Does Kentucky have an opportunity or a chance to win this game?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's a tough spot. I mean, Alabama's playing with a ton of confidence. Very impressive last week with what Milroe did, and they're a team that, if you know, Kentucky can't fall behind 14-0, because I think that just plays into what Alabama wants to do offensively. And you know, the thing about Kentucky is that they've been disappointing on offense this year for the most part. You know, we all talked about Liam Cohn coming back in and Devin Leary. You know, Devin Leary was in the top 2 or 3 of the most wanted transfers. And I know he's had his moments, but I think Kentucky fans and Kentucky probably thought they were going to get more out of that quarterback position this year. So I think Alabama's in a really good spot. You could argue some teams after, you know, big wins like they've had, beating Tennessee, A&M, and then an emotional win over LSU, that this in theory would be a spot for a letdown. But, you know, guys, in the last 10 years, how many times have we seen Alabama let down? Like, off the top of my head, I can't think of any.
They got a pretty good track record along the way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Another obvious big matchup, Mitch, is Tennessee's trip to Missouri, which before the season, you probably would have said, okay, Tennessee should get this game. And now it's a toss-up, without question. They're a slight favorite, but Missouri's had a solid year. What do you think of the matchup in particular?
Yeah, well, whenever I think Tennessee and Missouri, do you guys remember the game a couple years ago in Josh Heupel's first season? To me, that's when I realized, like, oh, Tennessee might have something here. They were up, I'm looking right now, 62-24 final. I think it was like 28-0 in the first quarter.
Oh.
You know, big play after big play. And that's just because I think the week before they lost to Florida. And it's like, wow, this is something. And, you know, the offense has been great ever since. And, yeah, I was just looking at some stats, you know, and this is nothing new, but Tennessee leading the SEC in rushing, leading the SEC in rushing defense and yards per play. It's just such a different type of team that we thought we'd see. But you're right, Missouri's been very good this year. They've got a good offensive balance. It's not just a passing attack with Cook and Luther Burden and those, you know, really good wide receivers. So they're very balanced on offense. I was a little surprised that Tennessee was favored. Was it 2? I know earlier in the week it might have been 2 or 3. I don't know what it is now.
I think it's 2.5 is what I got here on ESPN.
Yeah, I kind of like Missouri at home. You know, Tennessee, I wouldn't say they played poorly on the road. You know, they didn't play well against Florida, but they played, you know, relatively well against Alabama. We know what happened in that game. But I think Missouri, you know, I don't remember a team gaining as much national, I don't know, respect's the right word, in a loss that we've seen from Missouri last week. Like, everyone came away from that game like, okay, Georgia's, you know, really good like we thought, but wow, Missouri, they're for real as well. So I don't see a letdown from Missouri or anything like that. I expect this to be a really good game, and I see why the spread's kind of what it is, but I'll go with Missouri at home.
Yeah, I think it could go a lot of different ways. Mm-hmm. And but Missouri has sort of won me over the last few weeks. And even the, you know, their loss against LSU, that was one where they had big opportunities maybe to win that game. That there are a couple of really bad plays at the wrong time hurt them. So I feel like they're going to have the confidence. And I think we all still have some questions about Tennessee away from Neyland Stadium as opposed to in Neyland Stadium. And, of course, they've got Georgia on the horizon here. So Tennessee should not be guilty of looking ahead here, right? That Missouri should have their attention based on what Missouri's done.
No doubt about it. Like I said last week, I mean, you know, they played Georgia, and I wouldn't say toe-to-toe. I mean, Georgia was the better team. Did you ever think Georgia was going to lose? No, but I thought Missouri showed a lot of resolve, you know, falling by down 2 scores and then making it a game late. So, yeah, I was really impressed with Missouri. I couldn't agree with you more. They've got to be kicking themselves over that LSU game. Not saying they should have won. They very well could have won that game. But then you look back at the Kansas State game, and they kick a 60, whatever, five-yard field goal to win it there, too. That game was going close to overtime. They could have lost that one, too. So, yeah, definitely Missouri. It's their offensive balance, to me, that's really stood out.
Now, Mitch, we got, what, 3-4 weeks left in the college season, just the regular season here. Of the four or five teams, Ohio State, Georgia, Michigan, Florida State, Washington, which team do you believe will not be in the college football playoffs? Or two teams?
Yeah, well, I don't think we'll see Ohio State and Michigan. So, I'll wait to see how Michigan plays tomorrow against Penn State. Right now, I think I would pick Michigan. But one thing, Ohio State's defense has been outstanding this year. So we talk about their offense, but it's the best defense they've had probably in 5, 6, 7 years. I think the obvious answer, though, Derek, and they probably feel like they're being picked on, is Washington. I mean, everyone thinks that Oregon's a better team. You know, Washington's like, hey, we beat them. Yeah, we know you beat them, and it was at home. But I guarantee if those teams are both undefeated and they play in Las Vegas in the Pac-12 championship game, that Oregon's favored in that game. So Oregon would be my pick coming out of the Pac-12. So I think Washington, and then I would say Ohio State, because right now I would pick Michigan to beat Ohio State, would be the teams in that group right there that would not make it.
Now, can Alabama potentially find themselves? It always goes back to Alabama. And can Nick Saban find a way to get himself into the college football playoffs? Or Texas, for that matter, because Texas did beat Alabama. But can you see where an Alabama or a Texas get in, which would put possibly two SEC teams in the playoffs?
Well, I think it's pretty simple for Alabama. They got to win the SEC championship. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they got to win the West. They're not going to get in with two losses this year. I don't see a path for a two loss team this year. So it's if they're 11-1. And they beat Georgia, they're going to make it as the SEC champ who just beat Georgia. And if they got two losses, they're not going to make it. Texas is a little more not as cut and dry there. I mean, they're the favorite in the Big 12 right now. You know, they're 8-1, and basically they're probably going to play Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State controls its own destiny. I think it has UCF in Houston and maybe one other team. I mean, Oklahoma State's in great shape there. So Texas will be favored in every game it plays. So I think Texas is lurking for to grab one of those spots, because you know Ohio State and Michigan, like we said, then you get into the one loss Big Ten team that didn't win its division make it over a Texas team that won the Big 12. I don't think they would, but that's, we're getting to the point now where we have all these scenarios that we got to play out in our head, and every week there's, you know, more results and there's less scenarios, but it's definitely a fun time of the year to talk about them.
Now, is this the year, and speaking of Ohio State, because you brought up their defense, and I was having a discussion with someone last week about how Ohio State, I believe this is their year possibly to beat Michigan, because the last two seasons, it wasn't that they were devoid of talent, because they had a bunch of talent. I just thought Michigan was the most physical team out there from a defensive standpoint. And until Ohio State addressed that, Michigan was going to continue to beat them. But it seems the way that Ohio State is playing now is reminiscent to when they won the national championship. They did have a loaded team, but that defense was nasty. And their defense, as you brought up, they're nasty again this year. So I see that as a way of, they got offensive players, but in this league, in the Big Ten, going against Michigan, you got to have a physical team, not just a bunch of really, really good skilled players.
Yeah, and they're built, their defensive line's been very, very good this year. If there's a weakness on their defense, it's probably their secondary. You know, they're third nationally in yards per play allowed at 4.10. And if you think about, especially last year's game, it wasn't that Michigan drove the ball up and down the field consistently. It was the big plays that really hurt Ohio State in that game last year. Just visions of the running backs, Edwards and Corum, just running free. Now, Michigan's built a little bit differently offensively this year. There's more balance in that offense. They're throwing the ball a lot more, not as much from the running backs. I'm just interested, kind of slight tangent here, like for tomorrow, I'm just really interested in watching J.J. McCarthy play a really good defense like Penn State, and then watching him play Ohio State, because he's been kind of lurking in the Heisman race. He's got great numbers, so efficient, having a great year, but it's hard to take him seriously until we see him against a really good defense, and we're going to see that tomorrow. So, I think if this is an obvious statement, but if Michigan plays well tomorrow and can score points against that Penn State defense, that bodes very well for them against Ohio State because those defenses are very similar.
Mitch Light with us. Mitch, I see Vanderbilt at South Carolina tomorrow, and I'm asking myself, there's two games left for Vanderbilt. Almost all of the conference games have gone the same way, almost regardless whether they play Georgia or Ole Miss right. or anybody in between. They're unable to sort of hang around as much. Ironically, maybe they hung around better against Georgia than anybody else. But they get behind. They have a couple decent sections of the game where they look okay, but they're not really able to get into the fourth quarter with a real chance. I look at the line. It's about the same as it is every week. It seems like they're two touchdown underdogs. Did they have a shot here?
Yeah, I'm looking at the Vanderbilt season, and I pretty much every game except Ole Miss, every conference game, even the Wake Forest game, fall behind multiple scores, get something going, either cut it. Even the Kentucky game when they were down 21-0, like they were down in the third quarter, had a chance to cut to a one score game. It's the same scenario every week, where it's like, oh, there's a slight chance, but then they can't get it done. And, you know, what's alarming about this season, and this is not really what you asked, Willie's, but is the lack of competitiveness, I would say, in the final scores. Like, I was thinking, and unfortunately, you'll remember this, one of the worst Vanderbilt teams probably was our freshman year in college, and show our age was 1989. And I look back, and I was kind of alarmed, just how many close games there were that year. That Vanderbilt lost, you know, 7 to Ole Miss. Kentucky was close. And I was like, so when you compare other seasons where you think we're really poor Vanderbilt teams to this season, at least statistically from a scoring margin, this one does not hold up favorably. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
So specifically to tomorrow, I mean, South Carolina has not been very good this year. They've been a disappointment, but they've been explosive on offense at times. You know, Spencer Rattler has, put up, you know, big numbers. We saw what he did in the first half against Georgia. The Florida game when they lost, he had a really good game there. So it's going to be the same story. They've got to get off to a good start. I mean, how many times do you watch Vanderbilt this year? The other team's first possession, it's just like 7 yards, 15 yards, 7 yards, you know, and it's 7-0 right off the bat. And that just puts so much pressure on the offense there. So, you know, master of the obvious here is not falling behind 14-0 would be a good plan. But, yeah, I mean, I would say – of all the games, I'm not just saying this because it's one of the final two games, but if you looked at the schedule a month ago, this was the one game you probably thought maybe that and Auburn and home that they have the best shot of being competitive.
Right, and you know they're going to be a big underdog against Tennessee. It's a big rivalry game, but the other part of the equation, I wonder too, just A, the feeling of, you know, having a shot to winning a game would be enormous for just a late season lift that they need big time, but also, the outlook at you know, for the future. Let's take the quarterback position. You got Walter Taylor. Ken Seals has sort of stabilized them a little bit, but the whole A.J. Swan situation. What's the future of the quarterback position? That's a major question for them, right?
Totally, and that's one thing when I look at teams, not just Vanderbilt, and we study teams coming off of maybe disappointing seasons, like. Do they have the quarterback position figured out? And that's why there was the whatever hope there was this year with Vanderbilt. Okay, they won two of their final three SEC games, and you thought they had the quarterback situation
right.
figured out. Well, they clearly don't. It's regressed. You know, A.J. Swan, I know he's been hurt, but when he was healthy earlier in the year, the mistakes were just killing this offense. I wouldn't be surprised if the starting quarterback at Vanderbilt next year is not on the roster right now. I don't know if they have supreme confidence in any of the guys right now on the roster. So not saying this is a tryout for anyone in the next 2 weeks, but, you know, I know they really like Walter Taylor's talent, but he's so raw, and can you afford to put him in these games against SEC opponents? And I know there's learning on the job, but is it fair to the rest of the team to do that? You know, it's a tough situation when you're struggling and you're so unsettled at the quarterback position, which is where they are right now.
I'm sitting from afar not knowing, but the with Swan not in there, I do wonder in this day and age where, you know, it's easy to look elsewhere, the fact that he hasn't gotten Bick in there, it would seem like behind the scenes it's not going well for him. And maybe some Vanderbilt fans are saying, well, he wasn't playing that great anyway. He was making a lot of mistakes, but we know how the game works these days in all the sports, right? If it's not going well, it's easy for a player to say, well, let me try somewhere else. The grass could be greener.
No doubt about it. And, you know, he's a talented kid. I'm not, you know, if he stays at Vanderbilt and has a good offseason, I'm not saying he couldn't be a productive player down in the next 2 years. You know, will he be at Vanderbilt next year? I don't know. I guess my point was he's very talented. But if you're another team looking for a sure thing at quarterback, if you're another like an ACC team or, you know, a Power 5 team, you know, I'm not saying you don't take an A.J. Swan, but there's really nothing on his resume that suggests he's a quick fix.
Right. And that's the trick. Leary, the grass isn't always greener on the other side.
Right. Like Devin Leary was one of the – had a just really productive career at NC State and was one of the most sought-after quarterbacks in Portal, and he hasn't really elevated Kentucky's offense. So it just tells you, sure, there are great quarterbacks in the transfer portal. We know that. Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. and Caleb Williams transferred. But – it's not a sure thing that you're going to find your answer in the transfer portal. So I'll say that for Vanderbilt too, if Vanderbilt pursues a transfer too. So it's everyone loves talking about transfers and fans like, oh, we'll just go to the portal. Well, you know, sometimes it's be careful what you wish for.
Mm-hmm. Mitch, thanks a lot. Appreciate the time. And we'll talk to you again next week, hopefully with Caroline, so we can catch up on her mental health.
Yes. I look forward to that. Take care, guys.
All right. We'll talk to you later. That's Mitch Light from The Athletic, college football editor. A lot going on. We still await the fate of Michigan. Are we going to hear anything today before they take the field against Penn State tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock? Stay tuned. We've got a lot more coming. We'll get back into the Titans matchups. We'll talk about the injury report that's come out, and we'll take it to the bank a little bit later in the hour. Don't forget, make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 102.5 The Game app as we approach week number 11 of college football and week 10 of the NFL. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.